Welcome back to another episode of Tab U at the Finance Professional Show. I'm Nick Russell and I'm the sales director of Tab. First question, who are you and what company are you from?
Easy question to start with.
Yeah, this one you should be able to get right.
Sam Lowney from Merrioaks Property Finance. We are a finance brokerage for SME property developers and investors across the UK.
Brilliant, great answer. Well, the next one is going to be, tell me a bit about your business. I suppose a bit more of a follow-on question.
So we are relatively new into the market. We only launched August of last year, and we specialise with investors and developers purely because that's kind of my background. I've been in property for 20 years, started out as an estate agent, bought my first property the following year, built up a portfolio across North and East London, now invest into Kent, the West Midlands and the North East. So investor, developer, landlord. I've been a lender as well, as a founding member of a lending business about 5 years ago. Okay. So with that kind of broad knowledge, I thought I would be most helpful in the marketplace, helping investors and developers on all their funding requirements.
Okay.
And that's kind of how we've evolved to doing what we're doing.
Brilliant. Good answer.
Thank you.
Right, for young people getting into this space, tell us why they should want to come and work in this, either at your company or in this industry?
Well, that for me, I mean, I grew up wanting to be in property, like from playing Monopoly with parents and friends, through to a very influential best friend. My best friend's dad was a big property mogul in the Northeast, was an estate agent. So I've always, like for me, that was an easy answer. But if I was to encourage my 22-month-year-old daughter or anybody of that similar age, what I would say is, if you're going to get into business, try to look at supply and demand. With property, like, there's evergreen demand. People need somewhere to live, people need somewhere to work, people need shelter. So there's always going to be some form of demand. And then at the same time, if you're doing property investment, so you've got, you're actually in that field, there's three ways that I look at it. You need the property, the land itself, so become an agent of some sort, whether it be residential or commercial. You need the knowledge of what to do to add value to become that investor developer. So you need to be maybe a solicitor or an architect or a contractor.
Asset manager
to unlock that value. And then the third most important thing is the money. If you bring all those three things together, you can make endless amounts of money. You can make endless amounts of smiles on people's faces, because there's always a need. There's always that evolution where things are becoming decrepit. The things are like, cities are expanding, etc. Transport infrastructure. So there's just endless amount of opportunity within our industry, and we need more good people to join it.
I love your passion.
Thank you.
What is the greatest challenge in your business at the moment?
It's probably nervous lenders, I would say, in my business personally. And the nervousness is causing our borrower clients to have all kinds of growing pains. So whilst every business needs certainty, so I understand what the lenders are going through, they don't have certainty within their business, but that's trickling down into the borrowers as well. So it's more of a systemic problem. So I can't blame the lenders per se, but their hesitation is causing grief at the other end, where these small SMEs feel like the victims. Because they're the ones right at the end, arguably taking the most risk. They should be getting proportionally the most reward as well, which I always try to remind them. You're doing this to make a fortune and make very good returns on your own equity. But unfortunately, this dislocation in the market recently is causing all kinds of stress for borrowers. So it's, for us, the most important thing is to try and find those lenders that that have been through maybe an economic cycle previously, maybe in 2008, or they've got people on their like NADs or something, people that can navigate them through these choppy waters and still provide a layer of comfort, a layer of security, a layer of certainty that that some lenders, unfortunately, are not able to provide.
Do you know what? I figured that might be your answer, actually. gut feel. How high do you think the bank interest rate will end up rising to at its peak?
I think 4.75 is what's been quoted. I would looking back in the 80s, 70s and 80s, we had inflation at 15-16%. Interest rates had to go up to kind of that level. I think right now, with as long as inflation doesn't get worse, then I don't see why it should go much more than 4.75. Mm-hmm. Maybe like on a worst case scenario, they were quoting 6+ after the mini budget.
Yeah, but it feels like a bit more stability, a tiniest bit more of stability since that first mini budget.
Absolutely, 100%. And I think generally already, because we've got supply side inflation and restrictions, it's already causing a lot of pain for a lot of people, this inflation. So I think that we'll find inflation come down a lot sooner than what we felt in the 70s, 80s. I'm probably wishfully thinking that at the same time. But I do genuinely believe that I think 4.75 will start to see inflation stagnate and hopefully start to creep down. We might see it sit there at 4.75 a while until we start to see inflation moving way back down to about 4 or 5% yep. consistently. But yeah, I think I'm thinking 4.75. But again, that's probably wishful thinking more so than like me doing loads of economic analysis.
Listen, you've got to be a little, try and be positive at some times.
Absolutely.
Right? You can't always be doom and gloom. Okay, well, this actually is a bit of a doom and gloom question. How far will house prices fall?
Depends where you are in the country. Historically, the north is a lot more volatile than the south and the southeast, where it holds value a lot better. But I think looking at different projections I've seen from Savills or from Knight Frank, and yes, they've got a little bit of a bias because they want to keep the market going. They want to keep a level of optimism because they make a lot of money on transactions in the market. But I
think they also don't want to put themselves out of carrying out valuations for lenders if they're so negative.
Absolutely. So I've been seeing kind of between 5 and 10% as an average.
Yep.
I think that probably that's not too far wrong. And I think maybe you might find in the north of England, maybe that might be as much as 20%.
Right.
But I think more importantly, there's two schools of thought with this, or at least I have. One of them is, if you are holding on to something right now, just do whatever you can to make sure you can keep up with repayments.
Yep.
Like, you know, cut back on costs, cut back on Netflix, cut back on delivery, or whatever else it might be that you can cut back
on. Don't mess up your credit.
Don't mess up your credit, exactly. You know, if you need to self-manage and, you know, take that a little bit extra income just to be able to service the loans, write it out, because these things don't last. It'll be like top 12, 24 months, I think. So that's on the one side. But on the other side, this is a great time to invest, you know, because if you are going to start getting 5, 10, 15, 20% discounts.
I think next year in particular, we'll start seeing that as a real opportunity. There'll be, you know, old vulture funds, opportunistic funds, whatever you want to call them. You can try and make it sound as rosy as you want, but there are always going to be people that are in a far more liquid position than everyone else, and they end up scooping up, you know, and make, it's just how it goes.
Capitalism. They have to capitalize on the opportunity.
Every bull and bear market's the same thing.
Exactly. So I don't, even though I do see potentially capital values slipping, I think that it doesn't need to be the end of the world. Unfortunately, the weak suffer what they must.
Yeah, I mean, I was saying in actually a previous podcast, ultimately they'll slip because yields have to correct, and they will adjust purely on a yield basis. You know, we can't live in this low yield, low interest rate period forever. At some point, higher interest rate means higher yield, which means property values are going to come down just as a pure result of offsetting.
But the beautiful thing as well in the long term is those high yields mean for investors, we're going to get returns on our property investments a lot sooner. Right now, you're getting net yields of like 2-3%. It's taking almost forever to pay these things off.
Agreed.
You're going to start buying at higher yields. You're going to hopefully pay it off in a lifetime. So
yes.
I think overall, we're moving back into a better market.
I agree. Yeah. It got crazy.
Yeah.
Look at the industrial market.
Exactly.
Threes and fours and gross yields. It's crazy.
And it takes forever to make your money back off buying and holding. So I think the transition period is always painful. Change, nobody likes change.
No.
But change is the only constant in life. So the sooner we embrace it, get used to it, the better we'll all be off.
Very succinct. What do you like about the lending space at the moment?
Well, I love the fact that it's so diverse, that there's so many lenders, because it gives so much opportunity for specialisms. And also for people like myself as a broker to stay in a job. So I just like the idea that there are certain lenders that do certain things really, really, really well. And that has taken some time for the market to really evolve, you know, post 2008.
Yep.
Wasn't necessarily quite there, but I think we're entering a maturity of a nice diverse lending base for borrowers to benefit from. And those consumers then they tend to get more competitive pricing, and that competition makes a better environment overall.
Okay. And What is the best piece of advice you've ever been given in your career?
Oh wow, there's so much good advice. I'm very fortunate. I'll tell you what,
either that, or what is the best advice you could offer a young person in their career? Or preferably both.
God, there's so many things that come to mind. Don't believe the hype. That was something that was always instilled in
me. As in, you're always indispensable?
You're always indispensable, yeah, exactly. That's a good one, yeah, exactly. I mean, the don't believe the hype thing was, in 2008, I believed the hype. And, you know, I believe when Gordon Brown said, the days of boom and bust are over. I actually believed him, like, 2005 or whenever it was. So I thought, wow, we're going to have this, like, economic growth forever, and it's great.
Yeah.
When 2008 happened and it wasn't true, then I started reading the news and they were like, World War III is going to happen. This is the worst depression since 1929. It's going to get worse before it gets better. No one knows when it's going to get better. And I was thinking, oh my God, it's doom and gloom. When in fact, it became probably the best time in our lifetime to continue investing. And I pulled out the market at that time.
Right.
And so when you read the newspapers, when you believe all the hype and you follow the herd generally,
yeah,
it's, you know, you might fall off a cliff basically. It's kind of do your own research, try and follow your own path. And surround yourself with you're the average of the five people that you spend most time with. So if you hang out with 4 millionaires, chances are you're going to be the fifth.
Yep. Okay. Brilliant. And last question. If you could have a dinner party, you had to invite 3 guests, anyone ever, dead or alive, 3 guests, who would they be?
All right. So I'm going to go with, you know what? It's Sir Bobby Robson.
Yep.
Newcastle United football manager.
Yeah.
I think he's just like one of the most charming, nice, down-to-earth people in I've ever met. 2 other people. I don't know. I think Prince.
Prince,
the artist formerly known as Prince. I think he's quite a cool mofo. and a third one, somebody like, oh God, who do I... You know what? Right now, I tell you what. There's a guy that I follow on YouTube. He does these things called Valuetainment. It's Patrick Bet-David.
I like Patrick Bet-David.
And, you know, he was born in Iran. I was born in Iran.
He did a great interview with Andrew Tate, Top G, recently.
Five-hour, like, marathon thing that I kind of watched on 1.5 speed.
Well, so, yeah, you watched that Andrew Tate one?
Yeah, 5 hours, 1.5 thing. So, yeah, I mean, I think he wasn't hard enough on him. I think he could have pressed him a little bit more. I've got my own views on that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, look, we could get into Andrew Tate, but I think we'd, one, we might not have a podcast, two, we might not get any listeners, and three,
but I like his style, yeah. One of the things I like about him is that he says that I will sit down with anybody and everybody, and I like that because, you know, we're all humans, we're all here with our own perspective. And,
I do like Patrick Bet-David, I think that's a good one, mate. That's it. We're done. Brilliant.
Thank you so
very much
for
coming on. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We're out.